gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday.
Are you okay? Do you need someone to shave your tongue?
Yes. Mama, it doesn't mean to frighten the children. Mama is sick. I know, so is Bill Press. All right, we might as well come clean. Could I have my confession music, please? Everybody in progressive radio is sleeping with each other all the time.
Including
we
Randy
all
Rose?
Have sex every day after the show.
Including Randy Rose?
Yes! Are you kidding? The Hoa is the main one.
She'll
She's the main
today.
Hoa.
She's out today.
Thank you.
I'm working
Hello.
The show.
Like, this is a coincidence. Miranda's here. Hi, Miranda.
Hi.
You can confirm this, that Randy's out today.
Yes, I don't know why.
Because she's a sick whore, because she's been sleeping with me and Bill Press.
Yeah, Bill Press kind of sounded like crap this
morning. Yeah, he barely made it to the end of the show. I was like, wow, and I'm not going to sound any better. Hey, guess what? We should have had a go-to-meeting instead of meeting in person, but now I'm going to phlegm on both of you. You see?
Oh, thank you.
What happens when you don't use go-to-meeting? Go-to-meeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try go-to-meeting free for 30 days. Visit go-to-meeting.com, click on the try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie, everybody.
Bill Press must have also been tongue-kissing his producer, Peter, because Peter
yes.
sounded
well,
like crap.
Yes, well, I think that I said everyone in progressive radio has sex with each other every day.
I have never had sex with you, and I never plan on it. Just saying.
All right. Good morning, Miranda. Miranda's filling in for Rebecca Taylor, and you're working Randy Rhodes' show today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you work various other shows, too.
Yeah, I'm everywhere. Fox Sports Radio, right-wing radio station right next door,
mm-hmm.
the catering
yes.
place.
You are multi-talented,
yes,
and
everywhere.
We thank you so much for filling. Rebecca's on sabbatical. The problem is, Rebecca, we will not let her quit. She keeps trying.
You drive her away, but it's only for a little while.
Yeah. Yes, we're the only employers in this economy. She keeps trying to quit, and we're like, no,
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 you can't,
no, you cannot.
Just take a rest.
So she's taking care of some family business. Yeah. She's on sabbatical, and you are doing a fabulous job. Thank you,
Yay,
Miranda.
Thank you.
Here, braving the phlegm this morning. Yeah, that is a weird, if you are a conspiratorial sort,
mm-hmm.
you
like
would
Jesse
wonder
Ventura.
Why everyone in progressive radio is sick right now, wouldn't you? You almost need both drama stings for that.
Maybe Jesse Ventura can cover this on his
I was
show.
Just, thank Captain Segway, that's my job.
What?
Why do you think I said it's conspiratorial? Because who's on the show today, Miranda?
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Governor. Well, he's known as the governor now, but thank you. Don't say,
like,
hey, body, when he calls.
I like
Don't.
The old one.
Yes.
She still thinks of him as the body.
Most people do.
All right. Governor Ventura, because, you know, he hosts the... This is going to be a Jim Ward extravaganza today.
Yes.
Jim will actually be hosting the segment. He has that conspiracy show, and it's on the JFK conspiracy, which Jim Ward is...
Right. It's called...
Jim Ward is like JFK conspiracy rain man. He
yes.
knows everything.
His show is called Conspiracy Theory, and it's tonight on True TV.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, because, you know, every year this time it's the anniversary of the JFK assassination. And
right.
so, anyway, so this is exciting. And Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, who is equally delightful and hilarious, will join us in studio to talk about the paperback book of her dad's last words.
Yep.
So it's a very... listen, my voice may not hold out through the rest of this segment. I'm already old Lucy, and then by next segment I'll be B. Arthur.
And then you'll be Harvey Fierstein by the end of the show.
I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong? I know, I start to freak people out. Even the dogs, like, give me that, I'm like, who wants a biscuit this morning? They're like, daddy! Oh. All right, these are my pharmaceutical fun facts, because I know you're probably wondering,
yes.
Miranda. What was it yesterday? Oh, I have
Benadryl.
The weirdest system in the world. So when I was starting to get, you know, sneezy and sore throaty yesterday, I took a Benadryl two nights ago and two Advil. Didn't sleep all night. Then yesterday day, I took two NyQuil for my nappy time. Didn't sleep at all. Took two NyQuil again last night. Didn't sleep at all. And so here I am. I'm completely immune to medication of any kind. And I'm also blowing my nose like crazy. It's not even working. I'm blowing my nose like crazy. It's not. I don't understand. I need to start experimenting with my pharmaceuticals.
Start experimenting with drugs.
I need to go get the stuff that's in the locked compartment at the pharmacy today.
Yeah. The Sudafed?
Something. Well, I have Sudafed, but that, you know me.
They keep Sudafed locked up.
I wonder if it works the opposite.
It cracks you out, Sudafed.
No, but my doctor even said, he said, I don't know anyone that Benadryl or NyQuil doesn't knock out. And so maybe Sudafed, which speeds most people up, maybe that will be the thing that will knock me out for weeks.
No.
Nothing works on me. I'm immune.
Maybe you need the green butterfly, you know, Lunesta.
That doesn't work either.
No?
Have that. Have that in the medicine cabinet.
Jeez.
Been there, done
Xanax?
That. No. Green butterfly, no.
Does Xanax work for you?
No. Nothing works
really?
For me.
Really?
No. You have to shoot me. I'm the Michael Jackson's doctor.
What if you up your
dosage? I need
to
be shot with a tranquilizer dart, or I need Michael Jackson's doctor.
What if you take like a handful of these pills? Would that work?
Why do I get the sense that you would like to work full-time on the Hal Sparks show? Why? He's so helpful, isn't he? Why don't you take a handful? That's probably not enough. A bigger handful. You're delightful. All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Or can you email Miranda?
Sure.
At StephanieMiller.com?
I don't know if that's set up yet, but by the end of the show it will
be. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that. Perhaps we should have covered that in the GoToMeeting.
Maybe we should.
All right. Anyway, this Patrick in San Francisco, we were talking yesterday, Miranda. Are you traveling over the holidays?
No, I'll be here.
Of course, because we're slave drivers.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, we don't let you do anything, do we?
She's working for us, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I apologize.
I'll be here.
I guess I shouldn't.
Okay, my family lives half an hour away, so we're traveling by the 134.
Awkward. Shouldn't have brought that up. No, well, slave driver. I'm not. I'm working.
Well, no. It's like yesterday. I was walking through the halls here, and everybody's like, "Are you going to the Clear Channel Christmas party at Disneyland?"
We don't ever get invited.
And I'm like, "I'm not a Clear Channel employee. Thanks for asking."
No, yeah. We're the Island of Misfit Toys in here.
We are.
Yeah, we don't get invited anywhere.
We're a couple of misfits.
Yes.
We're a couple of misfits. What's the matter with misfits? That's where we fit in.
All right. I'm always, Miranda, just a little match girl outside the window, just looking in at the festive Clear Channel parties.
Burning your last match, and then the warmth goes away, and you die.
After taking a handful of pills that you recommended.
Yeah, take a handful of Xanax. That'll be good.
These will warm you up here.
Yeah.
These will keep you warm. That looks nice. Oh, look at all the really rich right-wing hosts in there. That looks really fun. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, Miranda does not look happy with her lot right now.
Why?
I think she's just tired.
and she's next to me with this phlegmy Muttley laugh.
Well, she works odd hours. Sometimes she works until 3 a.m. and then comes here. So.
Oh.
No, yeah, it's true. Twice this week I worked from 10 p.m. until about 5:30 a.m.
Oh.
Just drove straight over here.
Yeah.
So I guess you're kind of tired of us bitching about what time we get up and, and all.
No, because I feel that too on my off days. Absolutely.
Yeah, you look a little stunned. You look like someone's hit you with a mallet.
Because to tell you the truth,
a little like Steve Doocy, unfortunately.
I woke up
right
about 45 minutes ago. I'm getting out of bed. I'm trying to catch up. I'm still on my way.
Anyway, my point in bringing all this up is I was asking if you're traveling, because we discussed yesterday about the, the scanner machines. You apparently can see tampons, and you look like an explosive device, obviously, so that could get even more embarrassing.
Where is the natural progression of this to go? Either women don't get to wear those on the plane.
Or you've got to pull it out.
Checked out.
What?
That's what you do.
Just don't yell, like, you know, down or incoming or anything.
Chris is going to vomit. Yeah. He just got all sweaty.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, Patrick.
I did not need the mental picture of pulling something out.
It's a security concern at this point. And then, you know, what about the pads? You know, what if they have the ones with the wings? You know, is that an extra security concern? Did they?
I was talking to a woman yesterday who just got off a plane yesterday, and they did the pat down with her because she refused to go through the radiation machine. She doesn't know what it's going to do to her body.
Yeah.
Said she wanted to go through the old style one with the magnet. He said those aren't even as of yesterday. Those weren't.
I want the horse drawn one. Really,
yeah,
they're not there.
The steam driven one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let you do it.
No, and I'd be concerned too. You don't want to expose yourself to X-ray like that unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I like the groping myself, as you know. I don't have much of a life, and so I listen. If that's where I got to go for a little human affection, Patrick in San Francisco writes, Steph, during your recent TSA exchange, this is a delightful story about a child.
Oh.
During your recent TSA exchange, my 5-year-old nephew asked me, what's a tampon?
Oh, dear.
Being a gay man and not entirely sure myself, I replied, it's something for girls' private parts. Without a pause, he said, I thought that was a douchebag. Not even wanting to know where... I'm guessing he learned all this
from the Stephanie Miller show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Not even wanting to know where or how he learned that word, I said, well, yes, that is too. He looked up with complete confusion. Geez, how many parts do they have down there? I'm still laughing. Just thought I'd pass it on, Patrick. We have a lot.
I'm sure it's a mystery.
We have
to Patrick,
a lot,
too.
Little nephew. We have a lot of fancy stuff down there. It's complicated. Get a manual.
I'm sure it's a mystery to Patrick, too.
What all is that down there? What's happening down there? Okay. It's complicated, isn't it, Miranda?
Yeah.
It's a, you know. That's
I don't want to go into it because I don't want to see Chris tip over.
Yeah.
They're, you know, we need GPS or something because, you know, guys have a hard time finding, you know, that. All right. little GPS. A lot of recalculating route, don't you find? A lot of.
Oh, how would you know?
Oh, please. Mom, I had a gentleman caller back in the day. One or two. All right. I faked my way through the first segment and all hopped up on cold goofers. Good for me.
Yay.
I sound like crap. All right. 17 minutes
is
after
the
hour.
Is this the way the rest of the show's going to be?
Oh, this is only getting worse.
Oh, boy.
Walter. That's my mod. I'm getting down into mod register now. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, free medical advice. Peg in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peg.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a pediatrician, and we see patients all the time who can't sleep on Benadryl. It's really common in children, and it's not uncommon in adults. And then NyQuil also has an antihistamine, so that may be why it's keeping you buzzed.
Help me, doctor. Help me. What do I do?
Are you buying the Sudafed from behind the counter? Or not behind the counter?
I don't know. It's in my drawer. I don't remember how it got there.
You didn't have to sign for it or have your driver's license scanned for it. Then that's the stuff that doesn't have real Sudafed in it, and it doesn't work. So you want to ask the pharmacist for the Sudafed behind the counter.
Yeah, but isn't that going to speed me up?
It might, but it doesn't always. Unfortunately, it might not help at all.
Well,
you know, my doctor told me once to take a half a Sudafed and a half a Benadryl. What does that do?
Nothing.
Well, you take the super Sudafed in the morning.
One Sudafed is the dose for a 44-pound child. So half of this, or I mean one Benadryl, so half of the Benadryl is not going to do anything for an adult-sized person. So, but if you get buzzed on Benadryl, you don't want to use really anything with an antihistamine in it if you want to have any chance of sleeping.
So that includes Sudafed, right?
No, Sudafed, plain Sudafed, not Sudafed PE, not combined with anything, is just Sudafedrine, and that's just a decongestant. And it doesn't necessarily buzz people. Take one the first time. If it doesn't buzz you within an hour, take a second one. The max dose is 2, and that will usually do it if anything's going to do it. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works for most people.
I'm going to go from sounding like old Lucy to like Neil Sedaka in one show on the Sudafed, aren't I?
And just FYI, the reason a lot of those screaming babies on Screaming Babies Airlines are screaming is because their parents think that giving them Benadryl right before they fly is going to make them sleepy, and instead it completely buzzes them out, and so they're flying high, and they don't want to stay in the seat, so that's why they're unhappy.
Parents, are you listening to Dr. Peg? Please don't, make our lives a little easier.
Don't ever give your child something for the first time right before you get on an airline. That is my...
Thank you, advice. Dr. Peg.
You're welcome. Good luck.
You're doing a service to America. Thank you. Thank you. Listen up, parents. Don't hop your kids up all on goofers.
Who's Neil Sedaka?
Oh, shush. I'm not that old. He's the singer in the 70s with the really high voice.
Oh.
All right,
okay.
Ken.
Hello?
It's like when you mention, I mentioned Phyllis Schlafly in my It Gets Better video. The kids are like, kids. You're old.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
I am amongst the toys on the Island of Misfits.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome,
Charlie in the Box.
Aw, thank you. What are your melatonin levels like?
Well, how would I know that?
Well, I mean, a doctor can tell you. Melatonin is a natural product you can get at a vitamin section of any...
none of that natural crap works for me either, but thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm made of, I don't know, I'm that mercury-like liquid that one of the Terminators is made of, I think. You know, since I've had mercury poisoning, nothing works on me, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you chelated the mercury out of your system.
I did. Joe in Richmond, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Really, really big fan of you and the insanity. I mean, the stuff that you guys do in the morning.
Thank you.
Shifting gears totally from sad to a different type of sad, as opposed to seasonal affective disorder, to my concerns about 2012 and the Senate specifically.
Right.
In that, here in Virginia, of course, we have Jim Webb, who is the recipient of the Macaca beneficiary
yeah, right.
of George Allen's campaign.
Right.
My concern, and I'm a big fan of Jim Webb in a lot of ways. I think he's a great hero.
Yeah.
A wonderful writer. He's probably written the best novel.
We've had him on the show, yeah.
But my concern about him is that he is, despite his great work for veterans in this current term, he has started to distance himself even further from Obama and other Democrats. And my concern is that, do you guys see the same sort of shift with some of the other senatorial Democrats with other seats that in 2012 that will become even more in play? And my concern is that if the Senate goes if the Senate goes red, then the likelihood is that we have basically a very much of a scenario that we did in '96.
I didn't mean to not respond. I nodded off, quite honestly.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I apologize. The NyQuil has finally kicked in.
Believe me, I nodded myself off.
I'm sorry. I was completely asleep just then.
I get your point, and unfortunately, I kind of do see that happening. I see the mood in Congress shifting towards, I don't know, the right.
And the problem
including
with the Senate
the Democrats.
Is, exactly. And the problem with the Senate is a lot of people still don't understand this because the House tends to have more fun because there are people who are in for 2 years, so they try to be somewhat more controversial.
Yeah.
It's the Senate that does treaties, as we know. It's the Senate that confirms justices.
Yeah.
And I see a real danger there as rights are eroded, as the gap widens, as we know, between rich and poor.
Well, and it seems like, I'm not even sure which bill Senator Reid was talking about yesterday, but it's like he always needs two more votes. It's like we're always friggin' two votes short of getting anything done in the Senate, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it would never happen, but the ideal thing would be for the Democrats to run the nuclear option at the beginning of the session.
Yep. And Joe, it was on TV last night. I was watching, you look at all these polls. Democrats, America agrees with you on all these issues, whether it's tax cuts or whatever. That's the infuriating thing. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You don't even like wine, do you? Yes, I do. I've just never had it right after brushing my teeth. I've had it while brushing my teeth.
My friend yesterday said, is that a true story that you brought wine to the Ed Show? I was like, yes.
Computer says yes.
Everything I say on the air is pretty much true.
What?
I said, you know it's true. Okay. I'm not while I was on the Ed Show. I had it in the car on the way back. It's a long drive, and it's cocktail hour.
You know what?
I packed a little backpack.
You know what's even sadder? Is that you have a special wine backpack.
That is sadder. Okay, 30.
It has a pocket that's specifically shaped like a bottle of wine.
Yes, it is specifically for going to do cable television and arguing with right-wing asshats.
And you got it from doing a cable television show, didn't
Indeed,
you?
Indeed, I did.
So they know what.
Someone asked me that once. You're going to have a glass of wine before you go on TV? I'm like, I need a glass of wine to go talk to Andrea Tantaros. What are you, crazy? I can't do that sober.
They generally don't put you on with a right-winger on the Ed show, though, do they?
No, thank God, yesterday. I get to be all by my lonesome with Ed.
You're not on today, are you?
Let's hope not.
Okay. You'll let me know, right? So I can alert you, media.
1-800-STEPH-1-2. No, Friday, it's like the cocktail hour starts a little early. So if I get that call, I'm like, better shower off. And
Friday just means Pinkberry for me.
Yay! 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Danny in Virginia. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
For your cold, 2 aspirins, a martini, and call me in the morning.
Okay. All right.
And then secondly, on the TSA stuff, if they offered a pat down with a happy ending, we could balance the budget.
Aye, there you go. You got to pay for it. See? Here you go. No more deficit. And happy endings for all. Yeah. Let's go to Julie in Tacoma. Hi, Jules.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I had a couple questions about the TSA thing. One is there an agent out there that might know the true gender of Ann Coulter?
That's the one mystery we could get solved. Yeah.
And also, we know that you go commando. So yes. What if you're in a dress commando out there, or maybe one of the books is commando?
Yeah. First of all, you have to see her in a dress. I don't think I've ever seen you in a dress.
I wear dresses a lot.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. You can do it just to turn on the guy there at the TSA.
Yeah, just do the bring your own fan and do the Marilyn Monroe. Oh!
Show a little ankle.
Hope you feel better, honey.
Yeah, thank you, honey. Okay, Bob in Fox Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hello there. How you doing today?
Yeah.
Hey, in response to Republican obstruction of the START Treaty and extension of unemployment benefits, Democrats, we really do have to expose Republican perpetrators of obstruction and gridlock as a major threat to the health, safety, and security of this nation. And they have become nothing but saboteurs of life, liberty, truth, justice, common sense, and
common
sense.
You are on a tear this morning, my friend, and you are right.
Well, you know, Abraham Lincoln warned, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And the Republicans are really trying to make that prophecy come true.
Yep. By the way, Exhibit A, Mitch McChinless, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McChinless, said Thursday he will oppose bipartisan efforts in his own conference to craft an omnibus budget bill for the coming year, a measure that promises cuts as deep as $26 billion from President Obama's requests. McConnell tries to block his own spending bill. The draft bill, which has had the support of leading Republicans on the Senate Appropriations Committee, is tailored to meet spending caps that McConnell himself championed just months ago. But just as he did earlier this week on the issue of earmarks, he said he's now moving to the right to be more in line with the new, you know, crazy right on this.
Yep.
So now he's like, who is the socialist that okayed me? What?
So disingenuous there on the far right, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Just a skosh.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall
dear.
We see what's doing? Okay, then. Yeah, wow, I wonder how much longer this will be true. Newt Gingrich on the...
Despite all their efforts, the Democrats in the White House never attacked the Republicans this year on racism because it was so patently stupid when you had Michael Steele as the chairman. That is a significant advantage in public relations campaigns, and I think that Steele does deserve some of the credit for us having done much better than anybody thought possible in January of 2009.
Is it me, or did he just admit that Michael Steele's a token? That he's
yep, he did.
Just...
You can't call us racist. We have a black guy.
We have a happy black face on the Republican Party. Look at us. Yeah, I'm sure that's completely counteracted all the postcards, or the what do you call it, placards of the president with a bone through his nose and watermelons on the White House lawn. Yeah, are you kidding? That's crazy. How could we possibly accuse them of racism? That's nuts. Okay. He kind of just shot his own argument there,
didn't he?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking really rude thoughts about Newt Gingrich and Greta Van Susteren, by the way.
Okay. Well, I don't even want to know why or how. Okay. Mark Stein in for the Limbaugh.
Obama and Eric Holder. They think this whole stupid war on terror is a Bush-era joke. They don't care about it.
That's not true.
They've
captured
more,
quite a few.
Yes.
People who...
Yes, more captures, more prosecutions than under the Bush administration. Uh-huh. Okay.
So, how does that make Obama not care about the war on terror?
I don't know. He just reads the talking point at Rush Leaves, but in a fancy British accent. Okay. Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Freaks.
All right. And by the way, despite getting swept in the midterms, Democrats still choose Nancy Pelosi as the leader.
Uh-huh.
But why?
Oh, yeah.
Really? So much for listening to the American people.
Ah. Yeah, that's just that's that straight up the middle fair and balanced reporting of what happened to Nancy Pelosi. There's no opinion injected in that at all, is there?
You know, the only people that matter to Nancy Pelosi are the people in her district, and the people voted for her 80%.
You know why they voted for her? Because she makes Fox and Friends crazy, because she's so effective at getting stuff done. All right, James Rosen on the O'Reilly.
The makeup of the Democratic Party right now. There are analysts who will tell you that the Democratic Party has, by and large, been hijacked by the most left-leaning elements of it, such as MoveOn.org.
So that's where the money is. The money's in those precincts, George Soros, those guys.
Hollywood.
Tides Foundation.
Oh, just lump it all together, Hollywood. Look over there, Tides Foundation, George Soros,
Did James Rosen just use a some people say there?
Yes.
Yeah, some analysts
say. Meaning me.
Right.
Meaning me right now on Fox News.
And he's one of their straight news reporters.
Yes.
That's nifty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hannity on, you know what, I think we can all agree on this. Sometimes, Chris, there are bipartisan moments, and I think that we can all agree that the gaping hole in literacy in America, clearly filled by George Bush's recent book.
It looks like America has made its decision. Now, Decision Points, President Bush's memoir, which chronicles some of the toughest choices he made in office, sold 775,000 copies in its first week alone, according to Crown Publishers. The book hit number one on Amazon.com's bestseller list even before publication. And has not moved since. So congratulations, Mr. President, not only for your blockbuster best-selling book, but also for showing all of those Bush haters who's the real boss.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
I wonder if W enjoyed that Hummer that Hannity just gave him.
That was a tough interview he did with him. Wow. Okay. Yeah. The book that he plagiarized from his other aides and stuff?
Yes.
That book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single... tough question about policies or anything.
He's the boss, Tony Danza.
You're the best president ever.
Yes, indeed. All right, Glenn Beck.
Soros explains the anti-capitalist, pro-Marxist tactics he uses to fundamentally transform countries.
Huh?
They are the dreams of his father, which is weird because that's almost the title of Barack Obama's book, The Dreams from My Father.
Oh, yes.
His daddy, by all accounts, was a communist, at least an anti-colonialist, as was his grandfather.
Oh.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
It all sounds so scary and connected and just, it all goes back to George Soros.
What he was saying there is, a phrase I just made up about George Soros sounds exactly like a phrase that Obama used as the title of his book.
Uh-huh.
That's how they're connected.
Uh-huh. Like, that's a coincidence.
And have you seen the cover of Glenn Beck's latest book?
No.
It's a self-help book.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's doing something really untoward to a child. It really does.
Really?
Yes. It looks very awful.
You know what? If you need to get help from Glenn Beck, you need more help than you can get from Glenn Beck, if you don't mind my saying so.
Yes.
No offense to all y'alls.
Yeah.
Planning on buying the book. Okay.
Oh.
That concludes another vominous right-wing world for today.
Holy cow.
Max in Los Angeles. Hello, Max.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Good, honey.
You know, I want to talk about unemployment insurance because I've been unemployed for over a year, and there's nothing out there right
now. That's
crazy
out-of-control spending, according to Michelle Bachmann.
I know it is. You know, I'm appalled they fall all over themselves to give the tax cuts to the rich like everybody. We are hurting out here. And what really bothers me is I called my senators, Boxer and Feinstein. Their staffs were terrific, really courteous and friendly and empathetic. My congresswoman, Louise Roy Bell Allard, same thing. I called Leader Reed's office, and it was like they were robotic.
Yeah.
You know, there was no empathy. There was no anything.
Yeah.
And
The thing that always kills me, you know, when Michelle Bachmann or others, Max, talk about this is just crazy out of control spending. We have to give the rich people tax cuts, but we can't possibly spend unemployment. That's your money, Max. You paid into that. It's not a handout, you know?
No, it's not. But I don't understand why Reed has remained the leader. You know, he didn't keep senators in line who obstructed so much of the president's agenda. The lack of priority toward the human needs that people are facing just doesn't seem to be there.
From Senator Reed in particular, you're talking about?
You listen to his staff. I've called them on other issues. You know, I called them during the health care debate, and they were robotic. You watch him on TV, and
they're probably they're shell-shocked from Sharon Engel supporters screaming at them, probably.
Know, but it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of fight out there. There's fight.
From Ed Schultz. Well, stay tuned, Max. Stay tuned, because I do think he's doing something good on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Dream Act, and I will tell you what next. He might have a little fight in him. The old boxer. We'll see. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jay Rockefeller would beg to differ. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 15
Today
minutes.
Is Larry King's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Larry! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I hate to name drop, but I'm going to a party at his house Monday.
A birthday party?
No, it's a book launch party for Wendy Walker, who's executive producer, who we are having on next week. Her book is fabulous.
We're having her on Tuesday.
Yes, her book, Producer. She has is a great book. Pick it up.
Should I read it to get some pointers?
Yeah, well, you know I normally don't. But I've really read this whole book.
You probably shouldn't have said that when we have Kelly Carlin coming
in. Oh, that one I read. Yes, Kelly Carlin's, you know, her dad's book, of course. That's required reading. By the way, fellow old people are backing me up on Neil Sedaka. You don't know who Neil Sedaka is?
I know who
I was
Neil
saying
Sedaka
if I go
is.
From Benadryl to Sudafed too fast, I'll go from sounding like old Lucy to Neil Sedaka. And you're like, who's Neil Sedaka? Oh, please. Beth in Minneapolis sent me the whole album cover. Timeless. After in the Rain?
I like 50s Neil Sedaka. I hated 70s Neil Sedaka.
That's me on Sudafed, see? It starts to rain, it begins to pour. Okay. 70s, more 70s wuss music.
Yeah, exactly.
and then for some reason we have a... What's the song?
Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, which was his big hit, I guess, in the 50s or the 60s.
In Italian.
But we have it in Italian. But we don't have the English version.
Is that Italian? Down dooby dooby doo? I never knew.
Comma, comma, down dooby doo, down, down. Breaking up is
hard to do. That's in English. That's in English.
No, that's Italian.
Oh, this is... Oh, that's wildly odd. That is weird. Really odd.
But we don't have the English version.
Huh. Hey, Jim, you got
the
here just
Stones
in time
did
for
an
that.
Italian version of As Tears Go By.
Did they?
Yeah. It's very weird. Wow. Nick singing in Italian. And that, of course, is the 1950s version of that song.
Are you prepared
not the
for
1970s.
Your... Are you prepared? You've spent your whole life preparing for your Governor Jesse Ventura JFK Conspiracy Corner.
I have the 1970s version of this song.
Aha! Uh-huh. Tell me that there you you're go. Leaving.
See, that's the 1970s
Sedaka. Can't
believe it's true. Well, it's not
manly.
Rock.
Manly, manly, manly. Man up, Neil Sedaka!
He's been married for 60 years now.
Of course he has. All right, thank you.
Oh, you think everybody's gay.
That's true.
Everybody gay? Yes. Everybody gay! J-Mac in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to comment on the hypocrisy of the Republicans, and what they need, what we need to do is keep exposing them and keep the pressure on them, because we need to let Obama go. It ain't even about racism no more. It's about getting the country back in first place. They talk about the kids, their kids, or the debt's going to be on the kids, the grandkids, but they ain't going to have no future if we still in last place. He needs to get the country going, the jobs, get these green jobs going.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's
where
all the jobs are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the problem, I don't know. I mean, again, you're right, but I don't cry racism at everything. But, you know, even Steny Hoyer was saying he does not in his memory know of Democrats saying that they can't make a meeting with President Bush, or they have to, you know, I mean, it's just there's sort of a basic level of respect for the office of the presidency that I
not
think is
anymore.
Just, yeah, has not been exhibited for this president.
Yeah,
House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said Thursday morning he could never remember an instant when Democrats didn't change their schedules to accommodate a request from President Bush for a meeting.
Uh-huh.
Earlier this week, House and Senate Republican leaders said they couldn't attend a White House meeting with the president because they had a scheduling conflict.
Right. Well,
the thing that's a lot more important than a meeting with the leader of the free
that's
world.
That's what you get when you're too accommodating to other Republicans. They don't respect weakness. They jump all over you, like, you know. Like
Steny said, I think
wounded
it's,
gazelle.
Yeah, I think not only that it's not only respectful of the President of the United States, but also furthers the ability to solve the problems confronting our country. Yeah, you can't really get started on that unless you show up.
Yeah, but according to them, the big problem confronting the country is the black guy in the White House.
Yeah, is Obama. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what really bothers Republicans?
Well, they said that, Jim. That's the thing. It's like, you know, you're making jokes, and they said that.
Yeah.
Who was it? Mitch McConnell said our main priority
is to get rid of, you make him a one-termer. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what really bothers conservatives?
What?
When they run into a progressive that will not back down.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That bothers them. They don't know how to handle it.
Well, like that's Andrew why they Wiener. Spent $1 zillion against our friend Alan Grayson.
Uh-huh.
He was the number one target.
Exactly.
Don in Chicago, you're on the Steny Hoyer Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning. One of the things that I find surprising when people talk about earmarks is, to me, the biggest earmark of all is that Congress gets its hands into deciding which military spending should continue to go on, especially when Gates, a holdover from Bush and Obama, say, well,
but Gates, you know what? Wait a minute, Don. You got to give Gates some credit. He's the one that's also been talking about military waste, and he doesn't need the F-22, and, you know, they have to stop making weapons he doesn't even need.
I agree with you, and then Congress comes in, and because they might lose a factory in their own district or something like that, to me, that's the biggest pork barrel spending there is.
Yeah, exactly. We have to make other stuff besides war, I think, is the
well, we're starting
conclusion.
To again.
Yeah.
The auto industry is
Let's
about
make
it.
Gadgets.
Yeah,
people,
by the way,
people
hey.
People love gadgets.
All of us as Americans can agree that it's a great thing that GM is back, can't we?
Apparently
GM
not.
Began trading on Wall Street again yesterday, signaling the rebirth of an American corporate icon that collapsed into bankruptcy.
Just shows what a communist Obama is.
And we can all agree that obviously that was a huge success and worked, can't we? Can't we, Republicans?
And we're getting back a whole crap load of money that we invested, plus
Hello?
Some.
Is anyone out there? I'm sure we all as Americans can agree that a uniquely American company like GM being out of bankruptcy is... Hello?
Is anyone out there?
Hello?
Anyone at all?
Hello?
Do you
Boner?
Hear me?
McConnell? No? Weird. Okay, Rose in Allen Park, you're on the Steny Hoyer Show. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you that fresh ginger, boil it, and then put honey and fresh lemon in it, and drink that, and you'll be as good as new.
Really? All right.
And also, raw garlic
cook.
And raw onions help, too.
Oh, well, thank God I have no love life of any kind. All right, thank you, Rose. I appreciate it. That's very sweet of you, isn't
you're
it?
You're welcome.
Okay. It's very nice. That sounds... okay, let's go.
Yeah, just gnaw on some cloves of garlic, why don't you? See how well that goes.
Wow. Ron in Atlanta, you're on the Steny Hoyer Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steny, love your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The reason why the Republicans didn't go to the meeting or turned down the meeting yesterday with the president is because it was John Boehner's birthday.
Oh.
And he was too drunk.
Yeah, they had to give him that green cake and his Harvey Wallbanger. I can see how that's more important than the leader of the free world. And, you know, the debt ceiling and, oh, you know, global economic catastrophe and
no,
that.
Whatever.
Whatever, stuff that doesn't involve bitters. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. Yes, I'm sick. If you just tuned in, yes, everyone in Progressive Radio is sick because we all have sex with each other all the time. Randy Rhodes will be out today. Bill Press, sick. Sounds like crap. Me too.
Apparently, I'm not in Progressive Radio.
Yeah.
Well, you don't. You come in late. You miss the orgy every hour. Oh. All right. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up in just a few minutes.
Jesse Ventura?
Listen, if you were on as much NyQuil as I was. Well, he will be doing a giant JFK Conspiracy Corner with Jim Ward. He's promoting his new show, his new conspiracy show, which is on...
well, it's a show that's been on for a little while.
Yes,
but.
Yeah, but obviously this week's episode about the JFK conspiracy.
Yes.
Okay.
It's on True TV, and it's tonight.
Yes! Mm-hmm. And Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, joins us live in studio next hour.
Whom I've met.
Yes.
Who you will meet in about an hour.
Who is hilarious and delightful, like her father was. All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like someone did with another unsolicited testimonials to the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Tom and Elgin, Illinois. Mama, want to thank you so much for promoting Cedarside Best Yet. It's the flea and tick spray. We have, it's natural, you know, red cedar oil, you know. We have 2 pooches, 3 cats. The cats are indoor-outdoor kitties, so the likelihood of bringing in little pesties very high. Our new addition, Brandy, a cute shepherd mix. I love when they attach some pictures. There's Brandy.
Oh, boy.
He, a cute shepherd mix, had a little flea issue. blah, blah, blah. I first used Frontline. It seemed to work, but I learned about the toxic effects. These type of treatments, I stop. I need an alternative for fleas, and ta-da, you bring Cedarside to my attention. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. And then you have a picture of the old elderly. This is Brandy, and this is who.
Advice! Advice!
What? Speaking of, did I mention that I spin it, yes, here in Los Angeles? If you're here in Los Angeles, come spin it, yes, with Mama. That's yoga and spinning, Jim, in case you're wondering. Y-A-S. You can go do what?
I thought you were mispronouncing the word, yes.
No.
We don't say no. We say yes.
What a country.
It's go to the number two, yas.com. Check out, they have 4 fine locations, Venice, Silver Lake, East Costa Mesa, and downtown L.A.
Yes.
And there's a Stephanie Miller special. Go tell them Stephanie sent you. All right, Rich in Lakeville wants to talk about our orange overlord, the boner. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. When President Obama does a State of the Union upcoming after the first of the year, you know what I'd really like to have him do to set the stage is when he has to, and he's forced to introduce Boehner as the Speaker of the House, hand him a box of tissues. You know, save us all.
Like the therapist in that, here you jack wagon, just throw the box of tissues back, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you totally. My biggest complaint about President Obama and the Democrats, they just don't have a backbone. If they have a backbone, they would change everything around. The people would unite in that, but it's like we're all walking around waiting for somebody to ring the dinner bell, and nobody's ringing it.
Yeah, we were talking about them. You know, at first I thought it was just the usual ass-hatty obstructionist disrespect for the president that they, postponed this meeting or had a scheduling conflict. Well, even that was political, is what I'm being told. You know, it apparently deprived Democrats of a crucial early chance to quickly gauge the Republicans' opening bargaining positions. So, I mean, you know, they did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, they started with Joe Wilson. I still think, you know, when he yelled out, you lied last, you know, at the initial inauguration or whatever, I still think that was staged. You know, I think that was part of it. That's where they started right there.
Rich, you're giving me great ideas. If he really wants to show it's a whole new day, he needs to walk out before the State of the Union, yell, you lie, right at Joe Wilson, and then throw the box of Kleenex at Boehner.
Well, why didn't they say, Sergeant of Arms, get that guy out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, And I, one last thing. Say hi to Jesse Ventura. I voted for him. I'm from Minnesota, okay?
Minnesota? All right. I will tell him so. All right.
Somebody voted for me.
A lot of people did.
He became governor.
He did.
Billy in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hola, hermana.
Hello.
Como talibu.
Yes.
Anyway, listen, I'm a little confused. But listen, I was listening to the conversation y'all were having about the Republicans jumping on Obama like a wounded gazelle. Uh-huh. I find that statement unacceptable as racist.
Uh-huh.
What?
Why
is that?
Gazelles are from Africa, and Obama's African American.
But Obama is not from Africa.
Nice try.
He's an African. No, Obama's not from Africa.
It's nothing to do with
he's
that.
American. Well, you know, I know it's a stretch, but my
it's a huge stretch. you need to ice your groin after that stretch.
Well, how does it work for you now? I mean, with somebody, that's what you guys do to the right.
Oh, I see.
Time.
You were doing a sort of a skit there.
Oh,
prove...
a Socratic argument. I see.
You
that
were
works...
doing like a skit about how politically correct liberals are.
Have you listened to this show? Have you listened to how politically incorrect we are?
I listen to you folks all. I'm just asking you, how do you like it now? When somebody
yeah, that was a good one, sir.
Yeah,
that's a good
one.
Not remotely equivalent to a picture of the president with a bone through his nose.
No.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with that, but I don't see a whole lot of those out here. But you do say,
what do you mean?
Somebody disagrees.
It was a good
Obama,
one, though, Bill.
You're doing it. We're doing it because we're racist. That's
Billy, will
true.
You promise that you will call back in with more skits of this nature?
Worse? I don't know if I can think of a worse one.
Come on. No, more skits of this nature. I like it. Okay.
We like your skit.
We do. We liked your skit.
Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too. All right. Well, you're done with me now.
See. You like it now?
I was being sincere. I really don't, because that was nicely done, wasn't it? That was a good one.
I think he assumed that we were like all people on the left. Hmm. We're very politically...
Lurleen, wait till you hear what I said.
And then I told him.
It's
y'all
saying
are racist.
Calling the president a gazelle is racist because they're from Africa. I said, how do you like it now? Wow. Well, he got us. Snap.
Not really.
Snap.
There's
no racism on the right. We retract it all.
Okay. I don't know if I can even recover from that. Laura in Naples, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, yes. I'm hoping that the Democrats and Obama have a backbone. I think what is happening is that they've underestimated how much racism is actually in this country.
Oh,
and
you're accusing them of being racist.
Trying to deal with, you know, the last, you know, presidential, George, the 8 years of dumbing down of America, I hate to say it, but I think it succeeded. I've never seen more scary people,
propaganda.
And I live in Florida, let
mm-hmm.
me tell you,
mm-hmm.
scary people that are in, I mean, this is scary stuff, and people we had better be, you know, our eyes open because, you know, keeping our eyes open because these people, they're nuts. That's all. I mean, it's scary stuff.
Yep,
scary
I hear you.
Stuff.
Well,
yeah,
the image that people get is that this is a legitimate argument, that they're furious at this leftward surge on the part of, and all the racist signs, all that's perfectly acceptable because they're angry.
You know what? All you have to do is type into Google racist Tea Party signs.
Uh-huh.
Scads of examples come up. So there you go.
Sure. Okay. So we broke the news yesterday. Our friend Carrie Elleveld was at this meeting on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yep.
I'm cautiously hopeful. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid vowed Wednesday to hold votes during the lame duck session on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and also on the DREAM Act. Top aides to Reid and President Obama told gay rights activists yesterday that the 24 Democratic leaders are committed to bringing the defense authorization bill, which includes language repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the floor after next week's Thanksgiving recess. Our Defense Department supports repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a way to build our all-volunteer armed forces. Reid said we need to repeal this discriminatory policy so that any American who wants to defend our country can do so. You know, in a separate statement, he pledged to bring the DREAM Act to the floor as a standalone bill. Of course, that legislation provides a path to citizenship for young illegal immigrants who complete 2 years of college or military service. And I think this might be smart politically. Jim, what do you think? I mean, it really, because as many people have made the argument on this show, these are both about national security.
Mm-hmm.
These are both about strengthening our armed forces and, you know, force them to have that argument.
Right.
They're always on the side of national security, so they say.
Right.
So
yeah, and since when is voting against the defense authorization bill?
Right.
Remember, we were, you know, hated America and the troops when, you know, anybody had any objection to anything that was in that. He also said of the DREAM Act, last time we sought to bring up this bill, all Republicans blocked our effort, even though many have been supporters of the DREAM Act in the past.
Uh-huh.
I mean, John McCain,
mm-hmm.
Exhibit A on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the DREAM Act, on record for both of, you know, the overturning of Don't Ask, Don't Tell when the military says a time and for the DREAM Act. He said, I hope our Republican colleagues will join me, Senator Durbin and Democrats, in passing this important piece of legislation now that we have a standalone version and the political season is over. So, you know, we'll see. But even Joe Lieberman said Don't Ask, Don't Tell is not the repeal is not dead. He said he's encouraged by Senator Reid's stated commitment. He said, paraphrasing Mark Twain, we're here to make clear that reports of the death of the movement to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell have been greatly exaggerated. The reality is the movement to end the injustice of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is alive and well, and we're going to keep fighting in the spirit of the American military until we get the job done.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure what's going to happen with this, but now I'm wondering, like, if they don't get it done, then is it time for the president to issue an executive order? I can't believe we've gotten as far as we have on this, on something that literally, I mean, the thing that the statistic, I have to say, that maybe surprised me, but maybe not. Do you know the amount the polling on the military is the same as the average as the American people, essentially? 70% want it overturned. 70% of the American people, 70% of the people in the military.
That's what I said. I want to hear what the people in the military think, unless I disagree with them.
Yeah, except John McCain said the study itself is gay. Yeah. The study itself is gay and wrong.
Gayest study I've ever seen.
In French.
Uh-huh. Gay and French and wrong. And then we need to do a new one. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. So it's a little good news. A little, I don't know, a little peak of light. Sometimes it's a train when you see the light, but I don't know.
At the end of the tunnel,
sure. 17 minutes after the hour. Yikes. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, I don't mean to brag, but I get compliments on my bright white smile almost daily. So it's time I bring my listeners in on my secret. It's called Evora Plus by Orogenix. I highly recommend you try it. I didn't think my teeth could get any brighter, but boy was I wrong. Not only is Evora Plus clinically proven to whiten your teeth up to 4 shades in just 30 days, but it attacks the bacteria that causes bad breath. I no longer worry about my breath when I lean in to talk with someone, thanks to Evora Plus. This little mint that I take twice a day whitens my teeth, freshens my breath, and also supports optimal gum and tooth health. My career was built on my mouth, and if I trust Evora Plus, you should too. So if you want sparkling white teeth and fresh breath naturally like me, call 800-699-6501 or click on the Evora Plus banner on stephaniemiller.com. Act now, learn how to get free shipping and handling too. You can find Evora Plus at Walgreens, GNC, and grocery stores across the nation. Call 800-699-6501. That's 800-699-6501 or click the Evora Plus banner on my website. Or you can pick up Evora Plus in the oral care section of Walgreens, GNC, and grocery stores nationwide.
Stephanie Miller.
It's a beautiful day.
You're not supposed to chew your zinc tablet.
Oh, dude.
It is the 23 minutes.
Oh. You're supposed to rub it on your nose.
23
rub
minutes.
Rub it on your nose?
No, it's a lozenge. It's a zinc lozenge.
You rub zinc on your nose, right?
That's for sunburn. This is a zinc lozenge for colds.
I've heard of that being dangerous.
The point is, I need a Heimlich. Someone help me. 23 minutes.
Just
stop
say
arguing
so.
About sunscreen.
You should just say you need a Heimlich and
1-800-STEPH-1-2.
If you need a Heimlich, you can't say it.
Oh, well.
You two arguing over my latest mispronunciation while I'm choking to death. Help me! Carol in Buffalo. Hi, Carol.
Hey, I love your show, Steph.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if you heard of saw the Huffington Post this morning, if you already heard about James Carville's vote, what he said about Hillary.
No, what'd he say?
He said, if Hillary just gave up one of her cojones to Obama, then they'd both have two.
Oh, wow. That's that region Cajun.
He was asked to, would you like to to retract that, or would you like to apologize for people, you know, that may be upset about what you said? And he said, okay, here's what I have to say. If I've offended anybody in any way, well, too bad, not sorry. This is probably the nicest thing I said about this president, or something like that. Yeah. But, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, well, we have the Hillary contingent that has never given Obama a break, including during the,
Gulf War. Retract my cojones? No, not going to happen.
Not unless it's really cold. Okay, Stephanie in Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
A baby's the thing that hangs above the crib. Hi, Steph, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Actually, I agree with you guys in regard to President Obama and not having a backbone, and that is definitely disappointing. I live here on the Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. so during the Gulf oil spill, there was a window of opportunity for President Obama to grab hold of not only Louisiana, but Mississippi, Alabama, and to get a firmer grip on Florida as well.
He could have
and
the
he
EPA.
Missed it. He completely missed it. People were angry. They were ready to turn on the GOP and corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
But he blew it.
It's a missed opportunity. I can see what you're saying.
Maybe I'm missing your point about you're talking about the BP oil spill, but missed
the
opportunity
BP
how?
Oil spill, yes.
But missed an opportunity how?
Because had he grabbed BP by the neck,
right?
I mean, even if he had just done even if it had just been something that was just political, but something.
Well, I mean, he got that huge settlement out of them without even
how
is that not?
Pay it. We'll see if they still pay it.
Well that's to me.
But now the moratorium is over. They're still drilling in the Gulf with no new safety procedures. Ken Salazar is still in control. I mean, he's pretending like it didn't happen, or pretending like it's gone away,
it
isn't.
But when you talk about politics, Jim, where she was just calling from, they all want drilling. All of those states, so you go, you had a political opportunity, they all want the drilling.
Well,
they didn't
want
any moratorium at all. Exactly.
But still, EPA could have cracked down much harder.
Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have made clear to Obama in a conference call they want him to establish a tough bargaining position on the GOP's for the tax cuts. Bernie Sanders yesterday said the White House needs to stand firm and say we are not giving tax breaks to billionaires in this country. So Senate Democrats had planned to debate various approaches to the tax cut. Charles Schumer has a plan to extend the cuts up to $1 million. I think our friend who we've had on, Allison Schwartz, said to extend them up to $500,000. Obviously, a lot of people want to hold firm and stay where the president has said at $250,000. Harry Reid yesterday.
My friend Senator McConnell has offered legislation to extend them all, costing $4 trillion. If he wants a vote on that, I'll be happy to help arrange that. But he should also help arrange a vote on $250,000, period.
The only Robert Gibbs said bipartisanship has happened just in terms of they finally scheduled the meeting, which is nice. The Republicans finally figured out a way to clear their schedule. Come talk to the president about the whole tax cut thing. The Harry Reid yesterday.
I could go for either a short-term extension of the middle-income tax cuts or make them permanent.
Allison Schwartz, Democrat of Pennsylvania, put forth a proposal. It would extend tax cuts earnings for up to $500,000 and eliminate the income for above that level. The additional revenue generated by the expiration of the tax cuts on higher earnings would be earmarked for deficit reduction, Schwartz said. Her proposal, of course, less generous than others like Chuck Schumer's, which is, letting them go up to $1 million. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
We want opportunity and maybe plural to vote if we have to do it more than once, twice, whatever it takes.
I think they've got to do this thing where they force them to vote on them separately, don't you? And there's like a, you know what I mean? They have to vote to kill the middle class tax cuts as well then. You know what I mean? Dick Durbin yesterday.
Well, the White House is acknowledging the obvious. The decision is going to be made by Congress, and it's going to be made during the course of negotiation.
Mitch McChinless yesterday on the very same subject.
The American people spoke loudly and clearly on Election Day.
But
they want us to put aside the liberal wish list and focus on jobs. And the more important thing we can do to create jobs between now and January 1st is to send a message to job creators that we're not going to raise their taxes.
Job creators in China.
Yeah.
They're creating jobs in China and India.
The polls are clear that people want what the Democrats are proposing. They want the tax cuts to expire for the top 2%. 29 minutes after the hour, Governor Jesse Ventura next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry.
Stephanie Miller.
But even at your age, I'm sure you understand things can't always go your way.
or ever. Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rick in Port Orchard, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. Hi. The Mooks. Yeah, I'm calling because I'm upset. I think you guys are racist for calling John Boehner orange just because some people say that he was born in Florida.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I think that calling Mitch McConnell chinless is a slur to chinless people. That turtle, I mean, is a slur to calling chinless people turtles as well. So
yes.
I think you should...
Right, we're turtleless.
Harumph.
Yeah, how do you like it now, huh?
We're speciesist. You'll be on the fainting couch. All right, thank you for that little skit. all right. You know, it's a holiday tradition. Yeah, what am I talking about? Jim Ward doing It's a Blunderful Life, the story of George Bush? No.
Computer says no.
But hopefully we'll get that, too. It is the time of year when we talk to Governor Jesse Ventura. He has a new, it's a terrific show. It's called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on True TV.
Mm-hmm.
This week, obviously, is the JFK conspiracy. Governor Ventura joins us now. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I haven't seen you since I sat next to you when you were filling in for Larry King in New York, I think. You were trying to...
Well, unfortunately, we may never see each other again. You know why?
Why?
I refuse to fly commercial now.
Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, that's right.
No, I'll tell you why. I've had my hip replaced.
Right.
Yep.
So I set the buzzer off every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, with this, the way they do it now, that person in San Diego is completely correct.
Oh,
if they did that
right.
to you on the street, it would be a sexual assault.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, you've been touched that way in wrestling, Governor. Come on.
See, but the point is,
right.
you get what I'm talking
about. I get what you're saying.
The fact that I'm treated like a criminal.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
And the fact that I'm guilty until I prove I'm innocent.
Yep.
And that's what you do now at airports.
Plus,
yep.
who doesn't
and
know?
I'm just offended. I've been a mayor. I've been a governor. I've served my country. I'm an honorably discharged veteran.
Yep.
And if they don't know who you are, they're not
qualified.
I have to be
searched every time I fly.
Yep.
Well, absurd. I prefer, like, and Janet, or the Napolitano, the mm-hmm. head of Homeland Security, did you hear her quote yesterday?
What'd she say?
She said, if you don't like it, don't fly.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be great for the airline industry.
I don't like it, so I'm not flying mm-hmm. anymore.
There you
wow.
go.
Wow. And as a Navy SEAL, you could probably evade the search if you wanted to, but you just...
No, you can't. Once you set the buzzer off,
yeah.
it don't matter.
Exactly.
You can't evade, you know, the metals in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. No, I had a broken...
I can do about it.
Yep, I had a broken leg, and I traveled a couple times, and it's the same thing. I know exactly
yeah.
what you mean. Now,
well, and now when they search you, get ready. As a female, you're going to have your crotch searched, and you're going to mm-hmm. have your breasts touched.
Well, there's nothing there, I can tell you right now. Now...
It's the thought of it.
I know. Exactly. It's yeah. horribly invasive. And rape victims have been groped at the airport. You know, it's just appalling.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's... And yet, they interview people, and people go, well, we certainly don't want another 9/11 to happen.
Yeah,
you know
well.
What I'd like to know?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd like to know. How many people have they caught since 9/11 who've attempted to
yeah.
get planes?
Zero.
Exactly. Zero.
You uh-huh. notice they don't tell you they caught anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be headline news if they caught somebody with a bomb trying to get on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've
so
had...
Clearly, they ain't
right.
caught nobody. In fact, in Minneapolis, they did a show last night. You know what they admitted to catching?
Hmm.
Jack Daniels and marijuana.
Well, you know,
so
I saw...
Got news for them. Jack Daniels and marijuana ain't going to bring the plane down.
Right. And, you know, Governor, I was saying earlier, like, I don't want to go through the scanner thing because it's an X-ray. It's not... You don't know
not
what...
Not only that, but if you're like me, for this TV show, I had to fly 3 to 4 times a week.
Oh,
imagine
wow.
if you're going in the microwave. I refuse to go in them full-body things.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But my point is, you know...
The pilots won't even do it.
My point is, though, I saw them interviewing someone from, El Al, and they said this is just unnecessary, the mm-hmm. way you guys are doing it.
Totally.
Yeah. Now, let's...
And you're going to believe that they're not going to keep those photos of you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they hit the internet every day.
Right.
Exactly. Let's get on to... I got to talk about your show tonight because I know it's going to be great. The series in general is great. But tonight is the JFK conspiracy tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on True TV. You have never published declassified CIA documents that appear to support a link between the assassination of JFK and the Watergate scandal, which brought down Richard Nixon. You flew that time to Dallas. For that version. Jim Ward's going to take over from here.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the people in the Watergate were people who were in Dallas that day.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah. There's a direct connection between the two.
So Watergate wasn't just a little break-in. It was a part of the cover-up of the JFK.
Well, that's another unto itself. That's the whole Nixon may have been set up.
Right.
On that whole thing. But I think the most interesting thing on my show tonight, and the media asked me this, they said, what new light could your show possibly shed on the murder of Kennedy after almost 50 years? And it's a great question. And I think my answer is good, too. We have a confession.
Oh, really?
On the show tonight, you will hear, see, and be able to read an entire confession to the murder of John Kennedy. It was done from a father to his son on a deathbed, with the son having to promise to take it public.
Wow.
Now, I challenge you with this. There is no statute of limitation on murder.
Right.
Wow. There should be a headline in the mainstream media tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. It won't be.
Of course not.
And wait, we don't know who it is. Conspiracy
theory. Said about this on my show tonight.
We won't know who this is until this airs tonight, Governor?
Yeah, then you'll know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called a tease.
I ain't going to tell you. I want you to watch.
Exactly.
I didn't know whether it had leaked or anything. I was hoping it could leak now so that I could grab all the publicity.
I'll just put it to you this way. The person who confessed, you're going to know who they are.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
So, the CIA documents that have just been declassified.
Well, what had happened in 1963 was simple. It was a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
It was a change in government without an election.
Right.
Wow.
Our president was killed and a new government was put in place.
Wow.
And our president was killed for that purpose. It was a coup d'etat, but it's just that we in the United States will never admit that our government could be bad.
And
I always remember a great quote from Albert Einstein, and he's a lot smarter than me. And Albert Einstein's quote was this: a foolish faith in authority is the enemy of the truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have in this country. We have this foolish faith in authority that our government can't be evil. Other governments can, but not the United States.
The Germans fell for that in the 30s and 40s, too.
Yep.
Our government would never do that.
And we need to understand that, yes, people in our government would do that.
One thing that, Nixon always referred to the Kennedy assassination as that Bay of Pigs thing. The combination of the mafia, the more right-wing anti-Castro groups, and elements within the CIA. But I'm thinking that itself might be a bit of a cover story, because someone had to be have enough power to call off this military group. I can't remember what the number of it is, but they were based in San Antonio. They were there specifically to help out the Secret Service in the case of, say, a presidential motorcade, where Fletcher Prouty talked about this 25 years ago, where you go up in the buildings, make sure all the windows are closed, make sure something like that cannot happen.
Sure.
Somebody called them off. And I'm thinking...
absolutely. Well, just like 9/11, who called for a stand-down of our aircraft.
Right, exactly.
Same thing.
You know,
if you look at 9/11, you had a window of 4 hours, and we didn't have one fighter jet in the air.
Well, they were in the air, but they were...
there were two of them over the Atlantic, the rest weren't.
They were vectored away from where they should have been.
Exactly. You had a stand down that occurred that day. Who could order a stand down?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
a echelon of government.
Maybe Donald Rumsfeld, for example.
Exactly.
One of the signatories to the.
Actually, I can explain it.
Yeah.
On 9/11, June 1st of that year, by an executive order from George Bush, the policy was changed.
Right.
June 1st of 2001. Up until that point, base commanders had the authority to scramble airplanes.
Right.
If the FAA called them, it was up to the base commander. June 1st, George Bush changed that and said no planes could be scrambled. The president did this without approval from the Department of Defense.
Right. So.
So therefore, you would have a stand down simply by Donald Rumsfeld not answering
Right. Prior to that, they always would intercept the planes that had gone off the grid or whatever, which does not mean shoot down. To intercept just means you go and observe, and then you wait for presidential authorization to shoot down.
Exactly.
Wow.
And on that day, none of that took place.
Right.
And now the policy's been changed back to the old way.
Right.
Again.
They changed it back, actually, in, I think, October of 2001.
As soon as 9/11 was over, then the policy shifted back to the old way.
Governor, your folks are telling us you have to move along. But real quick, who was Nixon set up by, in your opinion?
Well, Nixon, on Watergate?
Yeah.
I think Nixon was set up by the same guys that killed Kennedy because Nixon was looking into it. He wanted all the CIA documents on the Bay of Pigs stuff. And he met with Helms. And when Helms, who was head of the CIA, left, Nixon went into a tirade. He said, "I'm the president of the United States. How can they withhold information from me?"
Wow.
Wow. I'm the president. I need to know.
Documented. Read Haldeman's book and Ehrlichman's book.
Mm-hmm. Governor, your people are officially going to kill us now because you're really late for your next interview. But tonight is
going to
be.
We will. Learn who killed the president.
Absolutely.
We will. Thank you, Governor. That is a tease. Now that's a tease.
Yes.
Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on True TV. So there you go. His people are frantically like, you will never get him booked again, get him off the plane. We have another interview. All right. That was fascinating stuff, though.
That was. He's always fascinating every single time he comes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tune in. I couldn't resist the Nixon thing. I was like, wait a minute. So who? What?
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah, I can't believe people would go after Jesse Ventura at the airport. I mean,
right?
Have you been living under a rock for 20 years? You have no idea who this guy is?
He's a Navy SEAL. He can kill you with a pencil.
Your father was kind of sandwiched in between JFK
and
Nixon there.
Actually, Goldwater was on the church committee looking into some of
this.
Well, you know
what that is. Yeah, like it's a coincidence that how many years later Governor Ventura's on...
Stephanie Miller. You have no idea who Frank Church was, do you?
No, I don't. No. 45 minutes after
you were
the
playing with dolls in the 70s.
My excuse is I was three
when
70s? My dad ran for vice president.
I'm talking about the 70s. You weren't three in the 70s.
You were disco dancing in the 70s.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problems.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move. Just bust the move.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Kathy in Orlando. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hey, Steph. I'm so confused. I hope you guys can help me out, especially that call out with Jesse talking about the media.
Yes.
All right. Up until Bush was out of office, it was, you must support the president. We're a nation at war. We need up and down votes. You know, respect the president and blah, 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 blah. And as soon as Obama was elected, they came out and admitted they wanted to take him down.
Right.
Why hasn't the media called them out on all this?
Because the media are, slaves to corporations who have a certain point of view and agenda. And that it dovetails with that of the Republicans.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I get this whole debate. You heard what Jay Rockefeller said, right? You know, that he'd like to, you know, he wishes the FCC would pull the plug on Fox and MSNBC. And I'm sorry, like, here we go again. Exactly,
not,
with the false
not
equivalency.
Remotely the same. Also.
I mean, yeah, yes, news has changed. And, and Randy Rhodes makes this point. I get the point. News is different than it was, you know,
right.
In Cronkite Day. It is. I mean, MSNBC does not, you know, hide the fact that, yes, they have.
There is opinion.
Yes.
But when they make a mistake, they explain it and apologize for it and correct it.
Yeah. I'll tell you why Rockefeller would like them both shut down, because MSNBC, unlike Fox, does not march in lockstep with the Democratic Party. They've been some of the biggest Obama bashers on certain issues and of certain Democrats on certain issues. If MSNBC marched in lockstep with the Democratic Party like Fox does with the Republican Party, they'd be fine with it.
You would never hear anything bad about Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
The FCC does not have jurisdiction over Fox News.
Well, he was exactly.
MSNBC.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there's that.
He's still thinking it's in the 1960s.
Oh, okay, when they're broadcast? Yeah. Okay. They only have jurisdiction over what comes over the broadcast spectrum, not what comes over cable.
Yeah. I mean, I get both points. Randy Rhodes has been talking about this, and it is true. It's not news what you're watching. But the fact is, MSNBC is, I'm sorry, and it's not just because I'm on this side of the divide. They really make an effort to report the facts. Mm-hmm. Fox News makes no effort. At all. They are literally the propaganda arm of the Republican Party. They never criticize Republicans,
and
ever.
And there's generally a sharp line between what is news and what is opinion there.
Right.
I mean, if Keith's doing a special comment, it's precisely that.
Duh. If you don't get that's opinion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or worst person in the world. I mean, you know.
This is the perfect segue for what we're about to play.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox News on the air, Jim, they would never imply that Sarah Palin is anything less than completely qualified to be president of the United States or anything else.
She's a coworker of theirs, after all.
Exactly. Unless, of course, you're caught off camera when you think the microphones are off.
This is Judith Miller and Liz Trotta during a commercial break.
Alexandra Stanley had the best line. She said the new show was like The Sound of Music. Without the Nazis, without the romance, and without the music.
Oh, the Washington Post hated it, too, though. Did you see his review?
Yes, it was very good. Yeah, it was very good.
Said the sound of a voice when warning you to heed the bears. It would actually scare the bears, the reviewer said.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely right.
Said you just get the sense that all she's waiting for when she's looking at this great outdoors is to get back to her SUV if we're enough bars to send out her latest Twitter about the beauty of the environment.
And that's when they realized
that
the mics are on?
Yeah.
Oh, can we edit that out?
Yes.
No?
I'm sorry. Is that the network that accuses the left of mocking Sarah Palin mercilessly just because we're jealous and misogynist and blah, blah, blah?
Wonder what Michelle Malkin...
We're elitist. That's why we mock her.
Wonder what Michelle Malkin has to say about that.
Yeah, what do you have to say about that?
Anchor baby
Michelle Malkin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. See, that is perfect timing. That is the difference between Fox News and MSNBC, is they would never on the air dare to criticize Sarah Palin.
To them, it's all showbiz. To the people on the left, it's debate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, that is rich. Thank you, Producer Chris. That was trusty timing on your part.
Thank you. Do I get to keep my job?
Yes.
Okay.
For now. Oh. Elaine in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
The reason I'm calling is about the unemployment, extension of the unemployment benefits.
Yes.
I called this morning a whole bunch of people in Congress, including Boehner and including McConnell, and said to please extend them so that people won't lose their homes. And I think everybody should do that and just let all of them know what we think, even the Republicans. And that's all I was calling about.
Oh, okay. Thank you, honey. Appreciate that. By the way, case in point, MSNBC does criticize people like Charlie Rangel. Charlie Rangel! Thank you. The House Ethics Committee recommended censure for Charles Rangel, suggesting that he suffer the embarrassment of standing before his colleagues while receiving an oral rebuke by the Speaker for financial and fundraising misconduct.
Mistakes were made that I assume responsibility for, and I admitted wrongdoing to my committee.
And Charlie Rangel went on to say,
I apologize for any embarrassment I've caused you individually or collectively.
Yeah, when stuff like that happens on a Republican, Fox News doesn't even cover it, do they?
No.
It's just seriously like, I don't know.
Or they get a mysterious D behind their name where it was.
Yeah, that Chiron department.
That
Chiron department at Fox is, they're mistake prone. They're accident prone, as you know.
Mistakes were made.
Irene in Aurora. Hello, Irene.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, I just have a really quick question because I'm watching C-SPAN, and I'm watching how they just went. They're going on recess again next week for the holiday Congress. I just need to understand because I just don't understand congressional process, but they were just off a month and a week after the election. And now they're taking another week off. Couldn't they use Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to get something done, like maybe pass the food and safety bill or the...
Right. You think. I mean, I have to work.
Right. There's about, what is it, 400 good bills from the House all jammed up, ready to go? Yeah.
I mean, you know, like maybe work on at least 3 or 4 a day and make me feel like I'm spending my money for something with Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Throw me a bone here, won't you?
Throw me a bone here.
I need the info.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Mark in Minneapolis. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know, talk about a conspiracy story. That would be like getting a word in when Jesse Ventura's on the air with you.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to expose Glenn Beck.
Oh, ew.
Glenn Beck and expose himself.
Didn't we already see that during his botched S surgery that he put on online?
Ooh. But he was quoted in Forbes magazine in April as saying, I could give a clap about the political process. Making money, on the other hand, is to be taken seriously, and controversy its own coinage. He admitted, we're an entertainment company.
Right. Yeah, well, and
he's a rodeo clown.
Get that, then. Duh. 58 minutes after the hour, Kelly Carlin next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! 6 minutes after the hour, happy Friday. It's the Happy Clappy Liberal Show, everybody. Stephanie Miller Show. Check it out, stephaniemiller.com, the website, with some happy clappy news from the president about GM yesterday. Here is the President of the United States on the big news on General Motors.
Today, one of the toughest tales of the recession took another big step towards becoming a success story. General Motors relaunched itself as a public company, cutting the government's stake in the company by nearly half. What's more, American taxpayers are now positioned to recover more than my administration invested in GM. And that's a very good thing.
Well, and apparently some of those decisions paid off, didn't they, Mr. President?
We are finally beginning to see some of these tough decisions that we made in the midst of crisis pay off. And I'm absolutely confident that we're going to keep on making progress. I believe we're going to get through this tougher and stronger than we were before.
Hey, Jim, I've got some Guess the Quotes for you.
Uh-oh.
Who said back in 2009, does anyone really believe that politicians and bureaucrats in Washington can successfully steer a multinational corporation to economic stability? Who said that?
Pete Best.
No, the boner. The boner did.
Close.
Not much of a psychic key. Hey, Jim,
Much of a drummer. What?
No?
Huh?
Who said it's basically going to be a government-owned, government-run company? It's the road to socialism. Who said that?
George Best.
No. Republican Richard Shelby. By the way, if you've noticed all the people so far, wrong. Who said in 2009, no matter how much the president spins GM's bankruptcy is good for the economy, it's nothing more than another government grab of a private company and another handout to the union cronies who helped bankroll his presidential campaign?
The worst person in the world.
Yes,
I ran out of best.
It's Michael Steele. Yes. All right, you get a bonus round because you said you could buy. Now the government has forced taxpayers to buy these failing companies without any plausible plan for profitability. Does anyone think the same government that plans to double the national debt in 5 years will turn GM around at the same time? Who said that?
Best Foods.
Senator Jim DeMint.
Ah.
He's the leader
of
that,
kind of
then their new Tea Party revolution type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, who said, this is just another sad chapter in President Obama's eager campaign to interject his administration in the private sector's business dealings.
Private Spector? Phil Spector.
No, but that was a good guess. Tom Price, Republican of Georgia. Wrong. Okay, one last one and then we're done. Who said when the government gets involved in a company, the disaster that follows is predictable?
Best Western.
No. Representative Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona. Wrong. Emmett Rongersons. Okay. But
George Best was a soccer player, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks for that information.
Maryland.
Hey, more importantly, everybody, George Carlin's daughter Kelly is here.
Yay.
Because the paperback is out of Last Words, a George Carlin memoir. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
You live here, so you didn't have to fly here because we've been talking about the terrors of flying this morning.
Yes, but I live by the airport. Does that count?
What was on CNN we were just watching? It cracked the windshield.
Yes.
Yeah, that's bad. That's not good.
No, that's not good. That's not a happy day.
See, if I were one of the pilots, I'd put it on autopilot and get the hell out of the cockpit.
Yeah.
I'd have a drink.
Hope for the best. Yeah.
Let's have a herbal sauce because we're screwed. Drink up. That's all I can say.
Well, you were saying on a recent flight, there's such severe weather happening now that you were saying, like, you're used to the up and down with the flight, but yours was sort of going vertically. Horizontally.
It was going back and forth horizontally, and we were on a big wide body, and
good.
I was thinking, yeah, this... It doesn't do this normally, does it?
No.
I was so unhappy. I was actually next to a gentleman who was a lovely Christian man. We were flying into Georgia, and I thought, you know what? I'm willing to pray with this man.
Yes.
I was. I was absolutely willing to pray to the baby Jesus.
There are no atheists in foxholes or on flights that are moving horizontally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
it's really bad if the wind from... In other words, it comes from behind, wind shear.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly have no lift under the wings, which means you drop like a stone.
Yeah. Well, we were mentioning, I think Hal Sparks can top all of us. His last flight back from Washington was so turbulent that everyone on the flight threw up, except for one guy that pooped.
It's bad. Coming out one side or the other, I'm thinking.
My friend actually asked me that story. She said, well, how did they know? I'm like, I'm guessing there was a little bit of an odor.
You weren't allowed to get up and go to the bathroom or anything like that.
Yes, exactly. It's fun.
And then everybody didn't care so much. Oh, vomit. That's disgusting. Oh,
that's even worse.
Oh, okay. Now I need to get closer to someone that vomited.
And I'm guessing when they, did the peanuts later, no one was really going for them.
No, probably not. Probably not. All right. That's like my favorite. What's in the almost famous movie when the flight almost crashes and everyone makes their confessions and then they don't crash? They're like, oh, well.
I slept with your sister. We're not crashing?
They all get off the plane in silence.
No.
Oh, dear.
Awkward.
So, Kelly, we have talked before, and you are delightful, which is why you're back.
Oh, thank you so
delightful
much.
Delightful and hilarious, like your father, whom I loved.
Yeah.
Who didn't? But George Carlin's posthumous New York Times bestseller, Last Words, it'll be published in paperback. It has been.
It's doing pretty damn well out there.
And I love the LA Times review was, this is not a collection of setups and punchlines, but a candid, fearless accounting of his life and his art. Last Words shows a comic master at the height of his storytelling powers and with no limit with what he had left to say, which is the sad part. Because you sat down and Jim said, God, I wish George Carlin was here to talk about this insanity.
Yeah, I know. But, you know what he would say. Come on, you guys.
Yes.
You know what
he
would say. He'd say, when you're born, you get a ticket to the freak show. And when you live in America, you get a front row seat.
I can only imagine what he would have to say about Christine O'Donnell and anti-masturbation activists running for the Senate.
Big freak show time, people.
Tony Hendrick, correct, co-wrote this?
Yes, what they did was they spent hours taping conversations, basically. And then Tony took the transcripts and worked with my dad for quite a few years, moving the transcripts into story form and into some sort of narrative form. And so it was pretty much like 85% done when my dad died. It was just kind of sitting on a shelf somewhere. I don't think he was ready to publish it. And it was pretty much, it was verbatim my dad's words, but Tony kind of shaped the narrative.
Mm-hmm. And so when your dad passed, he came to you guys and said, I have all these hours, right, of tapes and interviews and drafts, and you gave the go-ahead.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly knew about the memoir, and they've been working on it for years. And we thought, okay, I mean, it's really strange. I'm learning this whole thing about being the daughter of a dead famous person. It's really, really strange life. And these are decisions you have to make. Okay, well, should we publish the memoir now? I mean, I guess so. I mean, you can't do the Ouija board with them or something like that.
Your dad would mock you if you did try to contact him.
If you did, he'd probably say the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Who knows what he would say on the Ouija board.
He'd spell them out on the Ouija board. That'd be great.
And that's how you know it's him.
Yeah.
It's him. It's definitely him.
Obviously, and we talked about this last time, but obviously part of the book is his marriage to your mom, his 36-year marriage to Brenda, your mom.
Yes.
and his relationship with you is threaded throughout the book. But, you know, what I love about it is, you know, it seems like in this book, like in his life, he was just honest. You know, they say it's right there, the honesty, the vulnerability. He didn't, you know, try to whitewash anything.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because in his life, he rarely talked about his personal life. I mean, when he went on talk shows and stuff, he would make up names of children that he had, like D'Artagnan and things like that.
D'Artagnan
yes,
and Sven.
He did, yeah. So, I mean, he was a very real man, you know. Yeah. And very human. And I think this book, I mean, I don't know, you know, while he was alive, how comfortable he felt about talking about this stuff. But in some ways, I kind of believe he kind of left it on the shelf, was like, okay, when I'm gone, you know,
right.
we'll let people know. And, you know, I mean, he certainly was very open about his drug abuse and things like that. So that's not a big surprise. But what I loved about the book were just little moments of things that I didn't know, places in his life before I was born, certainly, and his insights, his like kind of own inner working about things that I just thought were so beautifully said.
Do you have siblings or?
I don't know. I'm an only child.
So there is no D'Artagnan.
No.
D'Artagnan. As far as you know.
No, D'Artagnan.
Not D'Artagnan.
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 Corbel Canyon. Whatever he called your imaginary sibling.
And let me tell you, the first 6 months after he died, I kept waiting for the phone ring. Hi, I'm your long-lost love child sister or something. But no, there's no one else.
Okay. So what was your relationship like? How would you describe it?
Well, being an only child, I was very close to my parents. Some would say in the codependent world, a little enmeshed, of course, because I was the adult in the family for many years. I was the only sane person in our household before the year of 1975, I believe. And then, you know, my father was on the road a lot. He was one of those dads who was working. He was a working dad, and he was gone a lot. So when he came home, it was presents and fun time, and my mom was always like, I have to be the disciplinarian, and you get to be the fun person.
This is becoming eerily similar to my, you know, my dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater, and I'm catching the similarities.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. It's, you know, it's kind of normal in that way.
I overheard those conversations, too, during cocktail hour when they were down having martinis. I have to be the disciplinarian.
Yeah.
Of course they don't like me, because I have to be the one making all the rules. While you're off running for vice president.
You're Santa Claus.
Exactly. You bring your presents from everywhere. You bring your saltwater taffy from Atlantic City, you know, and I don't get to do that. So as a kid, it was kind of like that. But I was really close to my dad. He, you know, would play really cool music for me and introduce me to music and talk about Kent State and all the things going on in the country at the time.
He strikes me as someone that never talked, you know, down to kids or baby talk at all. He probably talked to you just like this from the time you were a newborn.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, treated me like, you know, a peer and an adult.
Here's the thing about Watergate.
Well, it's his famous routine, you know, the children. I'm so sick of people saying the children.
Well,
them.
Yeah, it's true. And it's kind of funny. When he started doing that, I was like, yeah, I was kind of, I mean, I, you know, if there had been social services when I was a kid, I probably would have been taken away from my parents.
Just for that routine.
Yeah, he was very hands-off, laissez-faire dad, you know. But as an adult, it was, you know, it was great fun to hang out with him and make him laugh and think and expand his mind, just like he used to expand other people's minds.
Yeah, well, I tell you the story because, A, I'm pathetic, and B, it relates to that, is that when I had him on years ago, I remember my producer said, George Carlin's people called and they said he'll come on because he says you're funny. And I was like, okay, just say that. I made her say it like 25 times in a row.
God.
I said, just say that again. George Carlin said I'm funny. Is that what you...
Making George Carlin laugh.
I know.
It's pretty fun.
So I can imagine what that felt like.
It's great.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12. Question for Kelly Carlin, if you like. George Carlin's fabulous. By the way, has anyone mentioned your eerie resemblance to Laura Linney? Probably.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe she is.
Is there something we don't know?
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Our guest, George Carlin's daughter, Kelly Carlin, who has a horse-drawn website of some sort that hasn't been updated in many years, but she'd like you to visit it.
It's and a steam-powered one.
And come find me on Facebook. That's really where I hang out.
Okay. We're like, could we plug something? She's like, that's what Edie McClurg always says when I plug her. She's like, oh, dear, I really ought to do something with that then.
I know. I should probably put my radio show on there, but I haven't yet. Oh, well.
You have one of those internet radio shows.
I do. It's on newdissidentradio.com, and the name of my show is called Waking from the American Dream.
Oh.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Winona Ryder is like me and you, low-tech. She says, talking to Winona Ryder is akin to traveling back in time to the 90s before Google, iPad, or reality TV. She says she doesn't have a computer. I don't go on the internet. I keep hearing that you can find anything there, which is kind of too bad. I sort of agree with her. Now everyone knows the salaries and budgets and the troubles. It takes all the mystery out. And when she says troubles, I think she means certain actors getting caught stealing a bunch of stuff from department stores.
So sad.
Stuff like, there's too much information on the internet.
Way too much.
I'm going to shut that down. Kel, do you pay attention to politics much? I know your dad obviously commented on it from time to time.
I do. I have a love-hate relationship with all that stuff. I'm kind of like my dad in the sense that I don't... I do vote. Okay, he didn't vote. I do vote. But I don't. I hate getting caught up in the tit for tat all day long. You know,
right.
It drives me crazy. But I mean, I am generally a progressive person who believes in justice and taking care of people and human rights and things like that.
A socialist.
Yeah, communist.
That's what,
yeah,
what they call it.
Pretty much, yeah. Uh-huh.
Don't mean to get into the tit for tat with you, but
yeah.
I'm just saying,
yeah, I mean,
in the Tea Party's opinion, you are a socialist.
This is true.
Yes.
I'm afraid your dad probably wouldn't have kind things to say about Obama these days, though. I remember him talking about how the corporate Democrats. And how...
Don't try to channel George Carlin to do your Obama bashing.
He didn't see a difference between the two parties.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I have to tell you, when Obama started leading the summer of 2008, he was originally a big Hillary fan, and then Obama started leading, and he started thinking about it, and he was excited. And okay. I think he would have been thrilled that there was actually a black man in the White House. I really do.
Yeah.
I really, really do believe
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite, well, everybody has a favorite George Carlin routine, but the whole House of Blues, and I think I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
routine,
yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Anytime he can pick on people. He didn't care. He just wanted to pick on people. He liked doing that.
Evan in Cabin John, you're on with Kelly Carlin. Hi, Evan. Hey, Evan, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. I had a question for Kelly, but I had to warn Jim of two news events first that are going to be coming.
Oh, yeah?
One is Joe the Douche Lieberman will soon be going to the airport to undergo a TSA pat-down, and we're going to need you to bring that to us.
Okay.
And the other thing is when the Republicans close down the government, Peter Lorre is going to call all of his friends in Mexico and tell them it's open-door policy, friends. And for Kelly, your dad was such a hero to me. I love all of the advertising routines and his football-baseball routine. And I was wondering, was he much of a sports fan? Because he just nailed that one.
Yeah, he was a sports fan. He listened to sports talk radio in the car pretty addictively. He was a football fan. He was a Raiders fan, for all you people out there. And he was a Mets fan. Those were his teams. And his best friend, Jerry Hamza, who was also his manager, was a Yankees fan. So they had fun all day long.
Thank you.
All right.
Baseball, you're going home. I'm going home.
I loved him talking about his growing up and, just how whiny we can all be. He was talking about what's the routine about immunity? Like, I never got sick. You know why? I swam in raw sewage when I was growing up.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Carl in Genoa City. You're on with Kelly Carlin. Hello, Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Go ahead.
First of all, I just wanted to thank Kelly. Thank George through Kelly, because a few years ago when he opened up at the MGM Grand, the very first night, my lovely wife got me into the front row. And as he was walking off at the end of the show, I stood up, I was clapping, I said, thank you, George. And he looked right at me, he pointed, said, you're welcome. And I was almost like that guy on the airplane, wetting his pants. I was just so excited. I have the utmost respect for your dad. I idolized him from the mid-60s, the first time I saw him on Ed Sullivan. And I just want to reiterate just how much common sense and joy that he brought to the world. And,
thank you on behalf of all his fans out there.
Oh, thanks, Carl.
Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for that magical story of incontinence. That is, your dad made me go duty in my pants.
What?
All right.
Greatest compliment to a comedian.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Our guest, Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter. His new book, not new book, Last Words, out in paperback
new-ish.
Now. Yes, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Somebody needs to stop me before I do something stupid.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That ship has sailed.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800, I said soldiering on. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kelly Carlin, let's just pull the rope up in the fort and kick the boys out.
I agree.
Stupid boys.
Yeah.
Last Words is out in paperback. George Carlin's, it really is so amazing. I hadn't heard, because I know everybody, has their favorite, which brain droppings, they have their favorite book. And yep. I think that this was such a great, sort of gift because people didn't know there was going to be another one. And yay is all I can say.
Yeah, and the thing I love about it is that you really get to see, everyone related to my dad is like every man on stage. I get that so much from fans, that they just could relate to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And which always surprised me, because like, but he never talked about himself, which is kind of strange. But it's just so lovely. You get to know him a little better.
Yeah. My favorite book title ever, When Will Jesus Bring the Pork Chops?
Yes.
How can you just for the title, you would have bought that one.
Because you get to make all religions mad at you at the same time.
Just with the title.
Just with the
before
title.
Before you even get started.
You haven't even opened the book.
Now, we were talking politics a little bit, but here's just some breaking news in California. Meg Whitman has settled with her housekeeper.
Oh, cool.
Yes. This is all she had left. She gave her $5,500.
Wow.
Marking the end of a very embarrassing, awkward political affair.
So that covers her gas money.
She spent $145 million of her own money, and if she had just given this maid gas money, perhaps she wouldn't.
And if she had just given that money to the state of California, imagine what we could have done with it.
I know.
It's mind-boggling to me what these people do with their personal wealth to buy themselves into an elected office.
Gloria Allred, who I last saw at my birthday party dancing to Poker Face and yelling, Meg Whitman spent $150 million. I spent $10 for this chalkboard, and I'm taking her down. So the larger message is, if you're Meg Whitman or anyone else, if you hire someone, you need to pay them. Nikki never wants to see Meg Whitman or Dr. Harsh again. She will be very happy to have them out of her life and focus on what's important, moving on with her life and her family, with her $5,500 eked out of Meg Whitman.
Wow.
I just picture Gloria.
Well, yeah, Meg Whitman kind of did herself in with that clip that she talked about, how great things were in California 30 years ago when Jerry Brown was governor.
Yeah. Let's think back now. Nostalgia music. Oh, I know, when Governor Brown made it such a business-friendly environment. We remember that now.
Oh, my Lord.
Brilliant.
Eric in Royal Oak, Michigan, you're on with Kelly Carlin. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Stephanie, Mooks, Kelly, how are you guys this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Great. Kelly, I, loved your father, followed his career. He was quite prolific. But the one thing he did that I always wondered about was, how did he land the role of Mr. Conductor on Thomas the Tank Engine? Because that is so unlike his, stand-up persona and all the other gigs he did.
I don't know how. Britt Allcroft is the woman who created Thomas the Tank Engine, and she approached my father, and it was kind of out of the blue, of course, clearly, and yet my dad loved doing things that were a little different, a little unexpected, and Britt said to him when he started the gig, she said, be prepared to be mobbed by two-year-olds in the airport, and it's true, because they would hear his voice, and they would be like, you know, Mr. Conductor Man, you know, and he loved it. He loved it. I think that, you know, he was a kid at heart, and he loved getting in those costumes and doing those stories, and it was a huge
Clearly,
for
they
him.
didn't hear the screw the children routine.
No, but I love that he had these two very, you know, different sides to him out there in the world. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Let's see. What do you call it? Mary in Michigan wants to talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hello, Mayor.
Hello.
Hi, Mayor. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
I want you to know that I keep When Will Jesus Bring the Pork Chops on my toilet tank.
Well done.
I think it's an appropriate place.
I agree.
Well, I originally called, and maybe you can help brainstorm a little bit about how to make this happen, Kelly. I have an idea about how to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, you know, in the movie Spartacus, where all the slaves stand up and they say, I am Spartacus.
There you go.
I am Spartacus. I am Spartacus. And they're protecting Spartacus. Well, I think what we need to do is, like, get a whole army battalion or maybe, like, the whole crew of a battleship
to
step
say
forward
I'm gay.
One at a time and say, I am gay.
I'm gay. Yeah.
I am gay. And
what's
know,
that movie I'm thinking of that I always get that. Wrong, that all the students did it to support their gay teacher that they were that was going to get fired? You know what I'm talking about. Was it In-N-Out, Kevin Kline, right?
I don't know that. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe it was a Richard Dreyfuss movie of some sort. I don't recall. But anyway, your point is well taken.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, maybe one of you has an in with the fleet. And
well,
I beg your
I don't
pardon.
Know about
what's your,
me,
what's,
but Stephanie might.
What's your point about Kelly and I in Fleet Week?
Really?
I thought we had those pictures expunged.
Damn.
That was during a different time for me. What did your, you know, now that I think of it, did your dad ever talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell or gay issues at all? In his...
No, he didn't, actually. I mean, he was a person who thought all that stuff was ridiculous. People who, whatever right. people do with their bodies is their business, and he believed in the underdog always, you know, getting a chance to be who they are without any rules or, you know, the society trying to control them in any way. So I'm sure he would want people to tell.
Yeah. Bob in Denton, Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I think if those teabaggers are really worried about the national debt, they should have a big rally and burn all of their Social Security cards and their Medicare cards.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good idea.
There you
go. That's lovely.
By the way, here's our new feature. Republicans about to get teabagged out of the Republican Party.
Two of them.
Republican-elect Richard Hanna of New York separated himself from hardliners in his party. He said there's a lot of people in somebody said to him, there's a lot of people in your party that are already talking about taking a hard line and not compromising with the president. What do you think? He responded by saying he doesn't feel that way. I think ultimately if the Republican Party takes that kind of posture, they will be punished in 2 years because people are sick of partisanship. He will be, I'm guessing by noon today, he will be teabagged completely out of the Republican Party. Or if they're already out, Jim, that's the other thing. If they're already out... that's when they can speak the truth.
Mm.
Republican Representative Bob Inglis, Republican of South Carolina, he was one of the first victims of a good teabagging, as you recall.
And how did he feel about that?
Not very happy. By the way, he's had a 93% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union, but not far right enough for the teabag party.
Wow.
So since then, he has blasted the GOP for using racism to whip voters into a frenzy, for following those personalities such as Glenn Beck and not leading, for deceiving voters with conspiracy theories and death panels and preying on their fears. And then yesterday morning at a House subcommittee hearing on climate change, he mocked his Republican colleagues for refusing to acknowledge the truth and danger of global warming, saying they slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night and they're experts on climate change. He also warned that while they posture to score political points, China will surpass the U.S. in clean technology. He's already been teabagged out of the Republican Party.
What? Racism in the Republican Party? That's just a myth.
No, stop it.
It's like Obama being portrayed as a gazelle on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Exactly.
I heard something great, though, about the Tea Party guys going, and women, I guess, going to Washington. And someone was saying about, you know, who's going to win ultimately, them or Washington, the system itself?
Right,
you know? And Washington always wins, you know. And I just love that they have this, like, we're going to go change everything.
It's the Harlem Globetrotters. Don't you watch?
It's like, no, you're not going to change anything.
Yeah.
You're just going to make everyone mad at you, and then we're going to get rid of you in 2 years.
Yeah. By the way, the Republican Party not racist because, according to Newt Gingrich,
despite all their efforts, the Democrats in the White House never attacked the Republicans this year on racism because it was so patently stupid when you had Michael Steele as the chairman. That is a significant advantage in public relations campaigns.
See? We got a black guy.
Not for much longer, no. It doesn't seem like. The other breaking news, RNC Michael Steele's prospects for a second term dinned yesterday as Republicans went public with their concerns about the committee's fundraising, and two prominent governors indicated a preference for... basically, they don't have anyone yet, but they're just anybody. They're just like anybody but him. Please.
Somebody who doesn't spend money on lesbian strippers.
Yes. In an interview, Haley Barbour, when asked if there should be a new chairman, he said yes. He did not.
No equivocation there.
Yeah, top Republicans said the scathing resignation letter written by RNC political director Gentry Collins Wednesday added a new air of urgency for the efforts to find a replacement for Steele. A lot of people were saying we're glad about it because it makes it clear he's got to go. It said what all of us already knew. Republicans, though, they're saying are being delicate about what they say about Steele. Because of the sensitivities involved with a largely white party's first African
American. Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yes.
It's so silly. It's just such a sham, all of it. Sorry.
Let's go to Brennan in Phoenix. You're on with Kelly Carlin. Go ahead, Brennan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I know I live in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
I was just saying, you know, I was listening to what Kelly said a second ago about how... people she doesn't know, fans of her father's, seem to connect with him, even though he doesn't, you know, really speak about himself very much. And I wanted to say that was a very important point about what really makes who we are, who people are. And it's not so much, you know, you and your personal life, but what you believe. And
right.
Really how that comes down to the differences between what's going
right.
on here in our country.
And I relate, you know, Kelly, because I didn't talk about my personal life till recently. but I mean, I know that I felt the same way. Like, I think a lot of people don't really talk about their actual private life, whether it's in their act or, you know.
Yeah, and I, you know, my dad came from the streets of New York, and he was, you know, a latchkey kid. He was, came up, I mean, his mother wouldn't call them a blue-collar family because she was a lace-curtain Irish woman. But you know, he was a street kid, he was every man in that way. And he never pretended he was anything more than that, you know. And so I certainly understand the connection.
That's what's cool about this book is that he really is so honest, about his whole life in a way that you're right, he wasn't in his act.
Yeah.
These two know that they don't want me to talk about my actual personal life because it's like when you pick up a rock for me and there's that, like, you know, there's potato bugs and earthworms and it's just really. Awful, a mess. Let's go to Diane in La Mirada. You're on with Kelly Carlin. Hello, Diane.
Oh, hi, guys. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hey, listen, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and I was 17 and started working at a supper club called The Bedroom, and it was a takeoff on the Playboy Club.
I'm guessing the story is at 17 you learned the truth from George Carlin. Is that where this is going?
No, I was still jailbaked, so I don't, I just wanted to tell you, we had Mort Saul, Kenny Rogers in First Edition, your dad, everybody, and your dad was just so, so sweet.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, he was just not funny, but just so, such a sweet, nice man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he met my mom in Dayton, Ohio, actually, at a similar kind of club.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I meant comedically you learned the truth from him. I didn't mean anything dirty by that, Diane. It's the truth. He spoke the truth. That's
of
what
course,
I meant.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I didn't mean
did.
To imply anything.
No, ever.
All right. 46 minutes. It's 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with the waning moments with Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter. The book is Last Words. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's daughter, live in studio with us. The book, Last Words. Is out in paperback, and that's hilarious. So you were just on a cruise with our good friends, Louis Black, Kathleen Madigan, who else?
Vic Henley, John Panette, Larry Wilmore, Dom Herrera, Ted Alexandro, and I know I'm leaving someone out.
Hilarious.
Yes, it was.
Shecky Green.
No. No, that's not it.
It was fantastic. You know, first of all, it's surreal being on one of these boats. It's literally the Bellagio Casino on water.
Yes.
It's crazy insane.
And presumably you had power the whole time.
We
didn't have to eat spam.
We actually did have power, and we were in the Caribbean, and we went by Cuba, waved. And I laughed. When I wasn't sleeping, I was laughing.
Yeah. Because so it was a comedy cruise, talk about what you did.
I did a little event, threw something together. It was a little retrospective where I played clips from my dad, and then in between I would tell stories about that time of our life, whatever was going on in the Carlin family. And it went over so well, I've decided that I'm going to take this puppy on the road next year.
Yay!
Yes, very excited. And the fans were just like, oh, my God, this is the highlight of the cruise. I've done a lot of spoken word stuff, and I did a one-woman show 10 years ago, so it's a very natural kind of thing for me to do. But I really got that the fans miss my dad a lot.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Well, I was going to say, it's sort of like when Natalie Cole sang Unforgettable with her dad, but less creepy.
Exactly.
But in a funny way.
Exactly. That could be creepy if I did that.
Yeah.
Kind of like just
and I think
the
seven words
talked
thing
with my dad
with
while
dad.
He's doing his routine. Yeah. That'd be funny. Yeah. Harmonize.
Or didn't Lisa Marie Presley try that with except she can't sing with Elvis.
She's a friend of mine. Though. She's a good gal.
Really?
I like her. Yeah, she's sweet.
I take that back then.
I don't
know. This is not an actual recording of Lisa Marie.
I haven't heard her. No, that's not her.
It is not.
I apologize. She's got a lower voice than that.
Yeah. That's true. That's Jill Miller, actually.
Yes. You're probably friends with all the celebrity kids, aren't you?
I kind of a little bit. I grew up on the West Side. I went to Crossroads, and there were a lot of celebrity kids. But it's really just recently that I started having this weird, surreal Hollywood life where I knew no comedians before my dad died. Literally, I knew no comedians. And now I'm going on cruises with Louis Black and people like that. It's the straight, I call it the magical mystery tour. I have no idea what's going on.
And I love that you recently got accused of stealing your dad's material when you're sort of like, that's the point, you see, is I'm using my dad.
Yes. Like I noticed that when I was typing it, that it sounded just like my dad's abortion joke. Hello, people.
Yes. Well, it was the point about drugs, actually.
Yeah. The joke was, have you ever noticed people against drug abuse are people you wouldn't want to get high with anyway?
Exactly, which is very fun. They're like, wait a minute, you stole that from George Carlin.
Yeah, hey, wait, did you notice?
Did you know that your dad did a joke with the...
Yes.
Yes.
I know.
Dummy.
That's why I said it that way.
See, that's part of the
part of the humor thing of it. See?
Okay. All right. By the by, I got to do one from Superficial real quick. Dina Lohan is shoving her gin funnel in the press again. After Gwyneth, I watched this the other night. I finally watched a whole episode of Glee. It was fabulous. Gwyneth Paltrow played a Spanish teacher on Glee, who she makes basically Lindsay Lohan jokes in order to teach Spanish or whatever.
Yes.
It's hilarious. True. Anyway, Dina Lohan says her lawyers are sending a letter to Glee. Superficial writes, right, because absolutely no one was aware Lindsay Lohan has been in and out of rehab as much as Charlie Sheen until Glee brought it up. This whole time, we just assumed she lived a quiet, unsung life, teaching inner-city youth the power of calculus. Damn you and your saucy song and dance numbers, Glee.
Yeah, that's not going to go very far.
They would sing a song about me.
What would your dad say about that? I mean, that's what cracks me up, is Sarah Palin, well, you know, whining about her family's privacy. Well, then don't put them in a reality show, for God's sake.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan would like us to leave Lindsay Lohan alone, and she would like to tell us that on her own reality show. That's what she would like to do.
Then she needs to stay at home more often.
Yeah. Speaking of Sarah Palin, Donald Trump, Jim, says he's thinking about running
for
president.
You're fired.
What? You're fired.
He's thinking about running for president. Asked about Sarah Palin. He said, I would take her on.
I'd take her on.
Which I want to see
huge
that.
Way. Huge.
It'd be huge.
Huge.
Not take her out in a Carl Palladino way. Take her on.
I'm going to take you out. Going to buy you dinner, take you to a movie. And there's nothing you can say about it.
Vern in Port Orchard, you're on with... Oops, sorry, you hit the wrong number there. That's when... Vern, you're on with Kelly Carlin. Go ahead, Vern.
Hi. I used to listen to the Smothers Brothers show, I believe, and I think that's where I first saw your dad doing the news
update, and he used to say, hey, que pasa, que, how's your pasa? Now, was there some sort of a sexual connotation to that, or am I just a sick pervert?
Vern, I believe you're a sick pervert.
You're a pervert, but thank you for calling. Thank you for your thoughts.
And by the way, we used to have a cat named Vern, so it's a great name. My dad named it.
Barry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kelly. Go ahead.
Steph, love you, love your show.
Thank you.
I fear your dogs. Yes. Kelly really does look like Laura Linney.
Right?
I'm at her Facebook page.
Telly.
She looks like George as well.
I do. I know.
Telly, right?
You look like scary smart the way George did, you know?
I am so scary smart.
Yeah, it's not normally a compliment. In your case, I think it is. She looks so smart.
I do algebra before breakfast.
Snowy in Atlanta. You're on with Kelly.
Kelly. I apologize. You probably get sick of hearing it from 1,000 times a day, but you're Zabba's greatest comedian of all time, I think.
Oh, thank you.
I saw him perform in Auburn Hills in Michigan years ago, obviously, and he started doing ripping into his religion like he usually does, and I saw people getting up and walking out, which stunned me. I was like, what do you expect to hear from him, for God's sake? And speaking of which,
we didn't expect irreverence from a George Carlin concert. Why weren't we told? All right, what the deuce? All right, last one, Roy in Harbor City. Go, you're on with Kelly.
Oh, hello, Steph, lovely crew. I just wanted to talk about George talked about how he liked individuals over crowds, and at a book soup on Sunset when his first book came out, he talked to my wife and I for like almost 10 minutes. It was like the cool uncle you have that, hasn't seen you in a while.
That was my papa. He loved doing that.
How many times someone started? The one time your dad said to me, and you look so polite and interested every time. God bless you, Kelly Carlin. The book is Last Words, George Carlin's posthumous New York Times bestseller. Pick it up. A delight as always, honey.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.